to them and says, for there were about 5,000 men. And he said to the disciples, make them sit down in groups of big crowds. So Jesus used the disciples kind of like managers to manage the crowds. Another way that Jesus used disciples, he told his disciples to go fetch a donkey for once. And another one is the preparation of the Last Supper, Matthew 26, verse 17. Now on the first day of the feast, unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover? 26:17. The disciples prepared a great meal for Jesus. It was his last meal they had before he was crucified. The last examples of how they actually served Jesus. But it wasn't just serving Jesus. The disciples all went out on a mini mission, if you will. They graduated. They were commissioned to be Jesus' representatives to the neighboring towns and the communities. Jesus sent out the disciples in groups of two by two in Luke chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, which reads, then he called his 12 disciples together, power and authority over all demons, and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. So now the disciples, they weren't just serving Jesus. Now they're acting on behalf of Jesus, healing people, delivering people, and God. Later in the Gospel of Luke, there was a setting out of the 70 out of Luke chapter 10, 1, I'm reading verse 1, 8, 9. Verse 1 reads, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before every city and place where he himself was about to go. Verse 8, this is Jesus speaking now. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. So the disciples were not only serving Jesus, they're also sent out to represent Jesus in doing miraculous works, representing Jesus, being his commissioned officers in ministry with the gospel. There was once, and as a caveat to the disciples serving, I gotta add this last point in here. And the disciples were once arguing who was the greatest among them, who was the greatest servant of Jesus. Jesus responded in Mark 10, verse 43 and 45, says, yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. When it comes to being a servant of Jesus, not only do we serve him just manual tasks, but it also means we represent him in praying for others, in teaching others about the kingdom of God, in praying for healing and deliverance and such. We will go over these things later on in the month of February. But I have a question for you. How should you serve Jesus? Is Jesus laying something upon your heart this month in a way to serve him? If he is, that is good. That is good. And it doesn't have to be some great grand way. It can be in a little way too. I remember back in 2011, the country of Japan had a very bad tsunami. It came in and killed many people. 10,000 people were lost in the city of Ishinomaki. And at New Hope Nehui, the church that Todd and I started in Hawaii, we decided to send a team there to help clean up. And I remember we're at the airport, we're at customs in Japan, and one of the aunties there on our team, she's Filipino, and she's just the greatest like person in the world. She's so fun to be with. And I noticed she's having two rolling carry-ons, and she's rolling, and the one's really heavy. And the guard there, the Japanese guard, kind of looked at it. He's like, what am I so heavy? And he pointed at the thing and had her open it. And she opened it, and to my surprise, it was a giant bag of pancake mix. It was like, I mean, it was like this tall, like this, and it filled the entire bag. Like, what, Andrew, what did you bring all this pancake mix for? This is like, actually, I didn't say that to her. I was a little waiting for her. there was an officer there, and I'm going, what? Wow. And the guy laughs. He goes, oh, and he kind of pokes at it. And he goes, oh, okay, and just let her through, let her through. And then I asked her, why did you bring all those pancake mix? And she said, we might not get breakfast here in Japan. I'm like, I think we'll get breakfast. But okay, I mean, you can't like argue, you're in Japan, right? So it's like, okay, okay, wow, wonderful. Well, it turns out where we were staying, for some reason, you couldn't get breakfast. But they had the full kitchen, like stove and all that kind of stuff. And here was Auntie Liza making scrambled eggs and pancakes for us before we went out to work in the cold this month of March. It snowed on us twice. I mean, it was like a godsend. I mean, she like, it was awesome. We loved Auntie Eliza. She would cook for us at night sometimes too. She made beef stew for us. Oh, we had Filipino beef stew. Oh, it is the best. When you're freezing cold and you come inside and there's that smell, that beef stew. It was heavenly. We all just absolutely adored Mama Eliza. Before the trip and also especially during the trip. And you know, just serving. Just serving. I know Jesus would just smile upon her. That was great. What she did was great. And I think us are thinking about being a disciple of Jesus. What does that look like? What is it going to be looking like? Serving Jesus. So number one, the disciples is serve Jesus in helping the poor. Jesus gives a fascinating parable in Matthew chapter 25 about serving the needs of the poor. I'm going to read the whole thing. It's Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. It begins, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on the right hand, come, you blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, as much as you did it to one of these my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil's angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This parable that Jesus gave was about is about end times. The parable says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, verse 32, all nations will be gathered before him. Okay, so this is the end times. This is when Jesus takes, he closes time out, he brings in all the nations before them, and he talks about how he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. Now, have you been around sheep and goats before? Have you ever been like a petting zoo, that sheep and goat there? And it's the little lamb sometimes, you throw a cute head up. Funny thing about sheep and goat is, they sound exactly the same. Have you noticed that? Like when they're together, they sound the same. They all go bah, 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 They sound exactly the same. Like, you know, and sometimes people, they sound like Christians, but they're not really Christians. And only the Lord knows truly who are his and who are not his. And he will separate one from the other. And for the righteous, he told them, thank you so much. I was hungry, thirsty, a stranger, naked, sick, and in prison. And you took care of me. You came to me. You ministered to me. And they were shocked. They were surprised. They were like, when did we do this? And Jesus said, when you have done it to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. That's pretty profound. That's very profound. You know, we see people who are poor and destitute and hurting, whatever it is, and we help them out. We're actually blessing Jesus. Is the least of these, my brethren. Well, who are my brethren in that passage? Is my brethren just only Christians? Well, I think certainly my brethren includes Christians. And I think that we help out fellow believers. We are fulfilling this in Matthew chapter 25, for sure. But then I also think, I'm just going to sit there, I'm thinking to myself, you know, but there have been times in my life when the Holy Spirit told me to minister to someone, and I had no idea whether they're Christian or not. I remember a couple of years ago, when we lived in Beijing, I saw a man that was there who had crutches. He was missing a leg. He was missing a hand. I think he had a blind eye. He was not good. And he was begging. And I'm like, I got to give this guy some money. I mean, he wasn't faking it. You know what I mean? You know, sometimes on the side of the road, you see people that are like, they're on their cell phone. Oh, do you mind? He has a cell phone. Like, don't you think he can, like, work? Like, you know, but this guy, he wasn't faking it. He looked like he was in bad shape. And I remember the Lord saying, give him something. So I gave him something and more. And I think that pleased Jesus. I think that's part of this Matthew 25. It's kind of hard to figure out my brother in this passage. I think it does include Christians, strangers. But one thing is sure is Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. It reads this. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. So I think that there is a premium in scriptures on helping out Christians, but also helping out people that are not Christians, they're poor, they're destitute, and you're helping them out. I think that that's a blessing. And then you're going to be blessing Jesus also. Now here comes a question. Big question is, when do you like stop giving to the poor? Like, do we give all our money to the poor? You can. There are times that God does call people to do that. You will find saints throughout the ages. Some of them, the Lord just grabs them, says, "You, they're rich, and I give all your money to the poor," and then he follows the Holy Spirit and they're blessed. But where's that about helping out the poor? Because helping out the poor doesn't mean you can suddenly discount other scriptures that talk about responsibilities also. You can't. The poor. However you define the poor. Sometimes the poor is people in church, and the poor is out in the community, sometimes the poor is you know, the homeless and just the destitute. Sometimes we can lose ourselves in doing this. And I thought about this, and I thought the Lord saying, you kind of need this balance here. And so I create a little acronym called HOP, H-O-P, which stands for household, oneself, and the poor. Because this is a daddy verse here. This is a big verse here. 1 Timothy 5, verse 18. This, if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than than an unbeliever. Ooh. Remember this one again. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied that he's worse than an unbeliever. That's a big warning. And some might think, well, what does the scriptures think about like an unbeliever? Well, that's the next verse, Romans 5, verse 10. It says, for him, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through his the death of his son. The scripture said that the people who don't yet accept Jesus Christ in their lives are defined as enemies of God. Here's the question. How bad are we if we are worse than unbelievers who are enemies of God? That is, if we don't take care of our own, especially those of our own household, we're worse than unbelievers who are enemies of God. That's pretty bad. That's not good. There are times in our lives when we can have the heart to serve and neglect our families terribly. That is not supported in the scriptures. It is just not. And what happens in the long run is the whole ministry that God wants to have through the individual just crashes and burns. And then, you know, in the long run, there's less glory given to God because the person burns out. I've seen this in ministry many times. My wife and I were at a big church outside the Philadelphia area, and the pastor was a great pastor, great speaker, awesome. And then one Sunday, he's talking about how he never took a vacation with his family. I go, like never? And he was kind of bragging about it. He never took a vacation with his family. And I joined the youth ministry, and his son was there, and he was not good. He was not healthy. Daughter, not healthy. The pastor ended up splitting the church. And then that church, he split. He got kicked off that church. And then eventually they got divorced from his wife. And he totally forgot the part of this verse about taking care of your own house. If we're so busy with ministry that we have no time left over, no gas left in the tank to take care of our wife and to think of her emotional needs and the family's physical needs, you're in sin. Flat out, you're in sin. My wife had a friend of ours, and then her husband's in ministry, and he didn't get paid for the church. He's a volunteer of the church, but he didn't work. He just didn't work. And they're always like borrowing money. They're always borrowing money, always borrowing money. And the kids were just, it was not good. And finally, it's like, brother, you are in sin. You have to take care of your own household. This is more important than literally taking care of the poor. It doesn't mean we only take care of our household and we don't minister the poor. We're supposed to minister the poor, but we can't dump our families and ministry to people. Does that make sense? There's another one here that is oneself. We have to also minister to oneself. The Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4 says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for your own interests, but also the interests of others. And that's a good verse. That makes sense. The Apostle Paul says, hey, don't look out for other people's interests, you know. But the Apostle Paul didn't say it was sinful to look out for your own interests. He says, look out for your own interests. And also the interests of others. First Corinthians 3, verse 16 says, do you not know that you are a temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Many people burn out because they serve so hard in ministry and no time left over for the spiritual life, and they end up drying up. And then they burn out, and then they're good for nobody. They're just burned out. We all know anyone like that? Any testimonies here? I've been to burnout before, and it's terrible. Burnout is you don't know when you're going to come out of it. Like slide out of it. Like, oh, that, some folks, man, they're in burnout. They're in a burnout for a year. And their marriage struggles and just, it's just terrible. I've known great men of God who have dried up, and a good friend of mine. We worked at area pastors for a big church. The senior pastor was a workaholic, and he drove people to insanity with the amount of work he dumped on people, and it was wrong. And one of the guys I know, he dried up, and then he was fired. Boy, that senior pastor, what a work he was. But unfortunately, my friend, he didn't take care of his spiritual life. He tried to please somebody so much that it ended up cracking him as far as his spiritual life, and he just dried up. He left the ministry. Very, very broken. This happens. And so when it comes to ministering to the poor, it doesn't mean we minister the poor so much that we no longer take care of ourselves. Some of us, we get so involved in so many things, we don't get enough sleep. We have to get sleep. You can't get sleep, or you're going to be useful to nobody. So when it comes to, and also when it comes to ministering to the poor, I have a verse here. It says, pure and undefiled religion before God. To visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted for all. So, verses and scriptures, ministering to the poor is a great thing. It's an absolute great thing. The challenge is we've got to keep it in balance. That's the challenge. And sometimes, one circle is going to grow, and it's going to get real big, and it's going to start pushing into oneself or the household time. And it's okay to have that first season. It's okay to have that first season, but make sure it kind of comes back to normal, Bill, again. If it gets really, one area gets real big and encroaches upon the other areas for too long, then that becomes unhealthy. But I think the scriptures certainly understand, and I think also symbolically represented in the Old Testament about seasons of harvest. And when it's a season of harvest, everyone harvests. That's the time when you get all the food you can. And so it's work time, baby. And family has to suffer a little bit because you got to bring the harvest in. If you bring all the harvest in, then they can scale back and spend more time with the family. So if one of these circles start getting big, it's a big job assignments or ministry opportunities or whatever it is, that's great. But it needs to come back to normal, Bill, again. If it stays inflated for too long, it's going to end up damaging. It'll end up damaging. And you're not going to be as effective the years in the future in serving the Lord and loving your family. It's kind of like spinning plates. My family went to see the Chinese acrobat dancers, Chinese acrobats. They came to our island where we lived in Hawaii a couple of times, and they're so awesome. I mean, they're just the coolest troupe. I mean, it's just so much fun to watch them. And my favorite thing to do is them spin the plates. And they sit there and they spin all these plates in their hands, and these big like wooden rods that go out the plates, and they keep all this balance, and they spin these plates, and each person will be spinning like 10 plates, and probably like 10 people up there, all these plates are spinning, and they're doing like somersaults, and still keeping the plates spinning. It was really fun. It's really festive. And you can see the wooden rods, they kind of bend and they kind of bow a little bit. And the plates still stayed on. I'm like, how is it? How do they do this? And then I realized it's all fake. The plates are actually attached to the plate, And they make it, they kind of wobble the plate, and then they're sick. It makes look at the place spinning. And it's all fake. Until the very end, when they have all the Chinese acrobats on stage, they all took down the sticks real fast, and all the plates all go back around. They're like, no way, it was all real. It was so cool. And some of us can come alive and go, oh, I'm spinning one plate here at work. I spin another plate over here at work. I spin another plate over here for doing church. Spin another plate for my spouse. I'm splitting another few plates for my kids. And then I spin another plate over here. And another plate. And you have all these plates to spin. And you're going, I don't want anything to drop. And it's hard. And I've had people say to me, Pastor, I'm spinning all these plates. And I don't know if I just keep them all up. And I respond in the same way every time. You were created in the image. You're created in the image of God. God models and spins plates all the time. And we're going to have to spin plates too. We don't get escape from it. We're going to lean into Jesus and ask him to help us to spin those plates and to keep the balances correct in our lives. And Jesus is good. He knows exactly where we are. He knows exactly where we're on. He promises he's going to guide us. You're not going to miss it. You're not going to. Now, sometimes a plate may fall, but it's okay. He's right there. He's going to keep back up on that plate again. Sick yet, and you're gonna make it. The goodness of Jesus is on, and trust the Lord. When it comes to being one of the disciples that follow Jesus, they also serve by helping people, and also keeping a balance in life between hope, self, and the poor. Let's close with prayer. Lord, I want to say thank you so much. That you're a God who cares. You're a God who sees. And nothing escapes your notice. Lord, thank you so much that we can trust you with our lives and serve.